You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. Now, when longtime Milwaukee journalist Gail Garbarino Cullen's husband Steve was just 40, he died unexpectedly. In the course of just a few hours, Cullen was left alone to parent their four young children. We're talking today about her experience of grief and sudden single parenthood, what she learned, how she got through it, and how it shaped her as a person, and lessons she hopes to share with others. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. We want to hear about your expressions of grief, sudden loss, and single parenthood. What was grief like for you? What was the hardest part? What helped you get through it? What advice would you have for people who are newly grieving? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Gail Garbarino Cullen is a longtime TV and radio reporter in Milwaukee. She's the author of the book Owning Grief, Widowed Young, How I Discovered Gifts in Loss. Gail, thanks for joining us today.
I'm really pleased to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
I understand you started to write this book because you were looking for a book like this and it wasn't out there for you. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I mean, I was young. I was 41 years old and I had these four little girls and all of a sudden my husband was snatched away from our lives. And I was really looking for something to read. I'm a big reader and something that could give me a sense of direction or some idea of what lie ahead. And I really was struggling to find anything. There's a lot of books about grief and a lot of, you know, meditations and things like that, but I really wasn't finding anything that specifically related to my circumstance as a young widow and a newly single mother. And so I kind of said to myself at the time, when I have time, which would be a little ways down the road, that I was going to write such a book. And that's what Owning Grief has become.
And your story is, I think, any married person and parent's nightmare. Can you talk about your unexpected loss of Steve?
Sure. Steve was 40 years old and a pretty healthy individual. I mean, we ate our share of pizza and other not so healthy foods, but for the most part, a pretty healthy guy. He was a runner. He had done many marathons and, in fact, had run a marathon just 3 days before he died. And then, you know, he was away on a business trip and was supposed to pick up my youngest daughter on a given day after school, and I would pick up the other kids, and he didn't show up. And he was due back from his business trip, and I was kind of curious. And bottom line was, after many phone calls, I discovered that he had been found dead in his hotel room. And the ultimate autopsy couldn't really tell me definitively, but their best guess is that it was a sudden cardiac arrhythmia, essentially like a switch that flipped and his heart just quit.
And now your life, of course you're dealing with the grief from the loss of Steve. You're raising four kids, doing all the stuff that goes into that, but by yourself now, so you're figuring that out. And you're dealing with your kids' grief. These are young kids. I don't know how you did it. Can you talk just a little bit about how overwhelming that must have been?
Yeah, well, the kids were ages 3 to 9, so very little. And even trying to get them to understand that their dad wasn't coming home and why that was challenging, to say the least. And then, as you said, dealing with their grief as well as my own and still trying to put one foot in front of the other and get them back on track as far as school and soccer and life, while still trying to deal with my own grief and my own loss and the enormous responsibility that every parent feels of trying to raise your kids. And then suddenly having that responsibility quadrupled, I think, because I was now doing it absolutely alone without my life's partner. So it was huge. And it was a daily thing with grief. Certainly time helps a lot. And anybody who's lost anyone knows that over the course of time, it becomes a little bit more something you can deal with and a little less painful. But I can tell you, you know, I'm 27 years out from Steve's loss and I don't think about him every single day. I don't bemoan the fact that he's not here. I have moved on in my life. I have my daughters now have kids of their own, so I have grandchildren, and life is really good. But there are still times, and I ran into those even in writing this book, that some of that overwhelming sense of loss came smack back in my face again when I would sit down to write about it. So it's not something, you know, some people that maybe haven't experienced grief or a death of a close friend or a close loved one may not fully get the idea. You don't just get over it. The person that you lost, hopefully, was so important and significant in your life, and in my case, in my life and in my kids' lives, that's not something that you get past that. You figure out ways to move forward and to gain things from that, which I do believe we all have gained things, have found some gifts in this loss. But it's one of those things that you just don't, you know, okay, it's day 8 or it's week 7. Now you're done. Move on. It doesn't work that way.
We're talking to Gail Garbarino-Cullen. Her new book is Owning Grief, Widowed Young, How I Discovered Gifts in Loss. It's about the loss of her husband. She's a longtime Milwaukee journalist. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question, maybe an experience of your own to share with us. That's 800-642-1234. Josh joins us now in Marshfield. Josh, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about Josh?
Well, I was just listening in, and I just wanted to say my experience of grief, especially during the holidays. So what happened like 5 years ago was my grandma, who was 95 at the time, was dying and just letting go. And fortunately, we did have this experience of her passing during Christmas, and I think I was really just mad during that time because no one told me beforehand when I was going home for Christmas, and unfortunately she died, and I just felt really just devastated, even though I knew it was her time to go, and she was kind of allowing us to have that time to go. I was just mad afterwards just because no one was honest. And I kind of had to process my own grief for it and just anger towards it. And kind of during this whole COVID, I kind of thanked that experience because it kind of inoculated me into seeing a lot of people, you know, unfortunately dying from COVID. And I just want to say it's hard.
Josh, I hear you, and I'm sorry for that difficult experience. That said, Gail, you talk about the complicated emotions that come along with guilt, and you have a reading for us related to Josh was talking about anger there, and this is what you're talking about here. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely, Josh. You're right on the money. Anger is certainly one of those emotions that you go through and that you keep going through periodically after the loss of someone. And this is part of what I wrote in my book. Exhausted by the day, the dinner hour, and the rituals of getting 4 kids tucked into bed, appropriate stories read, and nighttime prayers said, I wanted nothing more than to sit down and put my feet up. And then the snow. As I trudged outdoors at nearly 10 p.m. to clear the sidewalk and the ever-so-long driveway by hand for the umpteenth time, I was angry. You should be here doing this, I shouted into the winter sky, not caring if any neighbor was witnessing this slightly crazed woman in her snow-filled driveway. This is your job, not mine. Tears streamed down my cheeks with each shovelful of the heavy, cold annoyance. Steve had always taken care of the outdoor chores that came with owning a house. I handled so much of what needed to happen inside that it seemed a good working compromise. How dare he leave me and dump this wet, sloppy, heavy burden on me? Of course, it wasn't really about the snow. It was yet another slap in the face, as if I needed it, reminding me that the house, the kids, the financial worries, everything sat squarely in my lap. Steve was not there to shoulder any of the myriad responsibilities. The one who for 17 years had been by my side was noticeably, prominently, permanently, awfully absent. He hadn't asked for this, but neither had I.
And that, I love that you included that in the book, because I think people, as in the way they talk about grief, they might not want to talk about that the anger and the other difficult emotions that they might not be willing to admit. Why was that important for you to share?
Well, you know, it does seem, how can you blame the person who's gone? They didn't do anything. It's not their fault. But it's just a very natural emotion that you encounter. And in fact, it was interesting when I sat down to actually physically write this. You know, a lot of memoirs tend to be, you know, I was born here, I grew up here, I was raised here, I did that, you know, kind of very chronological. And I sat down to write this, and it was like, I can't write this chronologically. It doesn't make sense because I would be I was very angry at the beginning, but there were many other moments along the way, and there have been along the way, you know, that I was angry again. And these emotions would kind of ride this wave, this roller coaster. It's like, how do I write about this? And so that's why I decided to write the book more from an emotional perspective. Anger is certainly a huge part of grief. Anxiety, fear. A lot of those things keep cropping back up again and again and again. And so to write them and at more about how the emotion of that moment was or those moments, and then relate to how I overcame them, how I moved past them in that moment, and then, you know, would find them jumping up and hitting me in the face again here and there.
We're talking to longtime Milwaukee reporter Gail Garbarino-Cullen about her memoir, Owning Grief, Widowed Young, How I Discovered Gifts in Loss. You can join in if you have a question for Gail about dealing with grief, maybe an experience to share. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with longtime Milwaukee reporter Gail Garbarino-Cullen about her memoir. It's called Owning Grief, Widowed Young, How I Discovered Gifts in Loss. Go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, I understand you have a story to share with us.
Yes, I lost my little boy Matthew when he was about 6 and a half, and it was sudden. And one of the things that I experienced was that I had built this whole network of support people around me, his teachers, his doctors, he had some disabilities. And when he died, I felt like I lost all that support, all those people that had helped me get through parenting him. And one of the things that helped me the most, besides having a good therapist, was going to Compassionate Friends, a support group for people who had a child die.
Okay, I'm so sorry for that loss, and thank you for being willing to share that with us. Gail, some common themes there, finding that kind of support, therapy as needed. Can you talk about your own experiences?
Well, and Kay, you're right on the money as far as, you know, a lot of people have a hard time dealing with grief, or they think that, okay, well, the person's passed, so now I don't need to be a part of the survivor's life anymore. And that is so hard. And I certainly experienced that. My kids experienced that too. There were certain friends that had been so close to us, and after my husband passed away, they disappeared. And I think some of that is people not knowing how to cope with the grief, not knowing, you know, if the physical sight of you as the survivor can trigger their own loss, their own sadness about the loss of your son in this case, or my husband in my case, that they'd prefer to just cut off that relationship and not go there. And that's really, really challenging. But I think you were wise to find other ways to go about that. I always thought of myself, even before my husband passed away, as sort of, you know, this strong mother that could just take on the world and handle anything. And then this happened to me, and it was clear that I couldn't do it alone. And finding the people that were really, truly good friends, even some new friends that I didn't know that I would run into. And that's what you're talking about with the grief group that you attended. Finding those people and reaching out to people that you do know who have stood by you and will stand by you. That's such a huge, huge part of coping with the grief and dealing with the loss and moving forward. Not moving past, moving forward in your life.
Okay, thanks again for sharing that story. I wanted to ask you, Gail, about the best ways for people to help. There's some people who seem just really good and they know what to do. And there's people, I'll admit, like me, who might say something vague like, let me know if I can help, which I think is probably not very helpful. How can we move somebody like me into that better category?
Well, I think that's fair. And, that, you know, grief is such a hard thing to deal with. It's so hard. Death is a hard thing to deal with. And so it's hard to know when you go to a funeral and there's the grieving widow or mother or father or whoever, and to go up to them and know, what do you say? What could possibly be helpful? And you don't want to not say something. It's just really a predicament. And I think for me personally, one of the things that I found the most helpful was when people would not be afraid to talk to me, not be afraid to talk about my husband, maybe tell even a funny story, a funny memory that they had of him, something that was meaningful to me to hear, and that they shared that with me. And that was so much better than just a generic, let me know how I can help, see ya. You know? And I think that really helps a lot. And to not be afraid of causing the person who's grieving to cry. Crying is absolutely normal, absolutely a part of grief. It's not a bad thing. And so, yeah, you might bring some tears to my eyes when you mention some fun or funny story of Steve that I didn't know. But what a wonderful joy that is for me to hear that story. A lot of people came forward after Steve died and wrote or told me personally of some anecdotes, some ways that he had touched their lives, that many of which I had never known about. And that was a wonderful gift that they shared with me. And I think if we can all, in trying to help others with their grief, try to even find just a single little moment of what that person meant to you and share that with the family that's grieving, I think that can go a long way toward helping them with their loss.
Talking to Gail Garbarino-Cullen, her new book is Owning Grief, Widowed Young, How I Discovered Gifts in Loss. We'll go now to Wendy with us in Oconomowoc. Wendy, hi.
Hello. My husband died after almost.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wendy. We've got a bad connection. I'm so sorry. Thank you for being willing to share your story, though. We'll go to John in Mason. John, hi.
Oh, I'm just calling to say I saw a meme that explains how the feeling of loss changes over time. It was a meme with three jars, a small, medium, and large, and the jars represented us. The grief inside the jar stayed the same. It didn't diminish at all, but we changed. We adapted and we grew around the grief.
John, thank you so much. And John, this sets up what I was going to ask to talk to you about in the last few minutes, Gail, so very well. You talk about post-traumatic growth in the book, which I think John really hit the nail on the head. Can you talk about that a little?
Absolutely. And I had never heard that term before. I was well into writing the book when I stumbled upon some article on the internet about post-traumatic growth. And as I was reading what that was, it was like, oh my goodness, this is what I'm writing about. I thought people would think I was slightly off my rocker when I wrote that there were gifts in loss. There were positive things that came out of losing my husband. That doesn't mean that I'm glad he's gone, but there certainly have been some wonderful gifts that have resulted from that, including my growth in my own career, my relationship with my daughters. We have an annual run and walk that we host every year to support cardiac research in my husband's memory. A lot of really positive, growing things that have resulted from Steve's death. And I think, John, you're right on the money. That meme is perfect because, yeah, your grief doesn't go away. It doesn't diminish, but you grow so much that you become better able, better equipped to handle it and to live with it and to blossom even as a result.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Gail, can you take a couple minutes to speak to, I think, your main intended audience, someone out there who's maybe dealing with a loss, maybe very recent, maybe in the last couple of years? Share something a little more from your experience that might help them out.
You know, it's so hard in the moment, and that could be, you know, the month or the weeks or the first year or whatever surrounding the death of someone that we love. It's so hard to think beyond that there is more after that, that there is something to hope for. But I can tell you from my own experience, if you can open yourself up to the support of others and to the willingness to find some things that maybe are not the worst thing about this. As I mentioned briefly, my relationship with my daughters, I think they are all so strong and so unwilling to sweat the small stuff in so many ways. And I think that's a gift from having lived without their dad. And that sounds a little weird, but I think if you are able and at least open to seeing when there maybe is something positive that can come from this, that there really is the ability to find a greater you around that grief that will make you a more whole person again, and that you can grow and develop and really own the grief.
And I'm looking at the website, CullenRun.com, for that Steve Cullen Healthy Heart Club run/walk funds research at the Medical College of Wisconsin. A great tribute. Can you encourage people to participate?
Absolutely. Come on out. This is our 27th year. Steve's been gone for 27 years. And to date, we've raised over $600,000 for heart research. You know, it's a wonderful thing that we have been able to come up with a way to memorialize Steve, but also do something really good with the money. The research that we fund is truly groundbreaking, and it's an incredible tribute to him, and I think to my girls and my family that we put this on every year, and that literally hundreds of people come out and join us and help support the cause.
Gail, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Gail Garbarino Cullen, longtime TV and radio reporter in Milwaukee. Her new book is Owning Grief, Widowed Young, How I Discovered Gifts in Loss. That website again, CullenRun.com.